You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm Jake Madison, your host and a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com as well. Happy Wednesday to you all, day after the Pelicans had their preseason home opener, an unfortunate 96-113 loss to the Indiana Pacers, which we're going to break down for you a little bit and touch on some of the good, the bad, the ugly, who played well, who didn't, where did the Pelicans look good, where didn't they look good. It's kind of a mixed bag of everything. In the second half of the podcast, I've got some clips from Alvin Gentry talking about the rotations ahead of their trip to China. Pelicans are actually probably on a flight right now. I believe they touched down in Anchorage, Alaska at 4 a.m. New Orleans time to try and refuel, looking for a game. They'll be in China for 10 days. Playing two games against the Houston Rockets, which later on in the podcast, you know, down the week, next week, we will definitely cover for you all. But I got some clips from Gentry before the game talking about the rotation, saying how they're trying to figure it out. And if you were at the arena last night watching the game, because there was no other way to watch, it was not televised anywhere, wasn't streamed through Facebook like the preseason game against the Mavericks from Shreveport was, you can kind of see where this rotation's going, who's making the team, who's not making the team. You know, I thought there might be some cuts last night, which I guess luckily for those players, there weren't. A few of them I'm quite fond of, so I'm happy to see no one got cut just yet. But you have to figure right after the China trip, a few cuts will be made as they trim this roster down. So we'll play those clips from Gentry for you, talk about what they mean, what you should expect in these the last four preseason games and the lead up to the season. It's only really about two and a half weeks away, which is pretty exciting that real basketball, not preseason basketball, is coming very soon. So we'll break that all down for you, talk a little bit about that. Before we get started with everything, you know, if you guys have been enjoying the pod, and I'm certainly loving hosting this, please like it, subscribe to it, whether that's on Audioboom, that's usually the links I post, or iTunes, however you get it. Subscribing is a wonderful thing for me. Get an idea of who's listening. We want to make this as best for you as possible. Also, please share it with any other Pelicans fans you know. The goal here is to be 5 days a week. We're going to get them out consistently in the morning. We'd like them to be a little bit earlier than what we've been doing so far, and I'm going to work on getting that so you have them for your morning commute. Or if you can't listen till lunchtime or on your drive back home, that'll work as well. So, you know, thank you guys for listening. Please do subscribe, share it. That is wonderful. And also don't hesitate to give me any feedback whatsoever. I know the audio quality hasn't been quite there yet. My microphone unfortunately broke, so I'll be getting a new one the next couple of days, which will make it sound a little bit better. But if you got any criticisms, things you'd like to hear, questions you want to answer, tweet them at me. You can also email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. Makes it pretty easy for you. I'm a tough guy. I can take all the constructive criticism unless they're super mean, in which case then maybe I'll start crying. But I won't let anyone know about that on the podcast. So thank you guys for listening again, and let's jump right into everything. So the Pacers game, the 96-113 loss. Obviously not a great game for the Pelicans. 96 points isn't what they're trying to do. The team posted a 94.2 offensive rating for the game after putting up a little over 105 offensive rating for the season last year. And we largely considered that to kind of be a down year for the Pelicans offense. So last night really wasn't what they were trying to do. Anthony Davis didn't look particularly sharp himself, posting an offensive rating of 88.4. I think that had a lot to do with it. But this team just shot poorly overall. They, you know, took a lot of threes, but unfortunately missed most of them. I'm pulling up the stats right now to see exactly what it was. And there it is. They went 8 of 22 from three-point range for a nice total of 36.4%. That's not what they're trying to do at all. They need to make those shots. Terrence Jones himself went 0 for 5 from 3. Sometimes it's simply a make-or-miss league, and the Pelicans were missing last night. Keeping with Jones, though, he looked okay despite that. You want him taking those threes. It's going to space the court. It's going to make Anthony Davis's life a little bit easier. It's going to make life easier on a guy like Tim Frazier, who kind of can't have people clogging the lane when he tries to go to the rim. So overall, spacing the court's going to be there. You know, Jones went 2 of 3 in the first preseason game, so you can't expect him to just to be missing every single night. Solomon Hill himself, the Pelicans' newest addition, went 2 for 2 from behind the arc. But so here's one of the issues with it, with the poor shooting. Anthony Davis is kind of right now the only consistent guy on this team. I like the additions they've made when they brought in Etuan Moore, Langston Galloway, Solomon Hill. I'm really warming up to the Terrence Jones signing now, especially for the contract he has. You know, and they brought in Buddy Hield when they drafted him. But Anthony Davis is the only consistent threat. He's the only real guy who can kind of consistently score in the low post, in the paint. And the Pelicans put up 28 total points in the paint last night, which is definitely not ideal. You need to get that up to, you know, 40 at the minimum to try and keep teams honest. With Davis being the only threat, this preseason's really important for a lot of these other guys. There's minutes to be had here. Dell Demps talked about it the other day when he said there's a lot of competition. Sometimes it's for roster spots. Sometimes it's for, you know, high-up spots in the rotation. The 6, 7, 8 men off the bench are all going to be up for grabs, and this preseason's been a good opportunity to see who's kind of going to grab it. We'll talk about that a little bit in the second half here. But Terrence Jones, you know, had a decent game last night, scored 10 points, 5 of 14 shooting for 35%. Not ideal. One of the things you'd have liked to have seen a little bit more from him is rebounding, which the Pelicans didn't do particularly well last night. Unfortunately, the team only grabbed 71.9% of defensive rebounds. They gave up 16 offensive boards to the Pacers, which was turned into 20 second-chance points for the Pacers. That's your difference in the game right there. Can't give up 16 offensive boards in the night, and they need to do a better job on the defensive end. And this kind of talks back to what I mentioned earlier. There's a lot of outside shooting on this team. And guys like Solomon Hill, Terrence Jones, bigs who like to kind of play back at times. Anthony Davis likes to, you know, step above the three. You have guys like Etuan Moore, Langston Galloway, Tim Frazier, Buddy Hield. You know, none of these guys are particularly great rebounders. The only real solid rebounders on this team are Anthony Davis and Omer Asik. And I don't think anyone really wants to rely on Omer Asik that much. You know, this is going to be a concern going forward. And against a shooting team like the Houston Rockets, the next two games they play in China against them, you've got to see this Pelicans team being very solid on defense, making sure they're securing these defensive rebounds. One of the problems is they want to get out in transition and run. When you got, you know, on defense, once the ball's shot, there's guys sprinting downfield, leaving one or two guys to try and grab that defensive board. Right now, the Pelicans might need to take more of a gang rebounding approach. If you go back to Monty Williams' first season, when he made the playoffs with Chris Paul, David West, and that great team, if you looked at the opponents missing a shot, there were four then Hornets going for the rebound, making sure the opponent had no chance to get an offensive board and second chance points. In more of a transition style, a run and gun system that Alvin Gentry brings in, that's obviously not going to be the case. But the problem is, if Terrence Jones isn't really a great rebounder down low, you're only left with Anthony Davis, particularly when they're playing Davis at the five, which sounds like it's going to be the plan more. And I'm worried that this team isn't going to be able to rebound consistently, which is then going to hurt their offense if they're not playing in transition. You know, at least in preseason, until they get some of these rebounding principles down, you'd like to see this team play that kind of Monty Williams slow, grind-it-out style, which unfortunately isn't going to be what they plan on doing throughout the season. So it's going to remain to be seen how this Pelicans team is going to go, but rebounding is going to be one of the big things for them as the season goes on. If they cannot defensively rebound well, this team is going to get killed. They can be great on offense, you know, all they want, but if you're giving up 20 second chance points, it's not going to, you know, do the job. You don't want a guy like Buddy Hield grabbing 5 rebounds for you all defensively. He's not the man that should be doing it. It should be Solomon Hill. It should be Anthony Davis. And it should be Terrence Jones, Omer Asik, and Alexia Jensen when they're on the court. Some combination of those guys need to be pulling down 50% or more of the rebounds. And right now, I don't know if that's what we're going to see happening. So I mentioned Buddy Hield just now. And one of the things is, the guy continues to look good. He's really starting to allay all my fears I had about him from Summer League. We knew the shooting would be there, but the ball handling wasn't too great in Summer League. The decision making wasn't great. The court vision wasn't there. And, you know, now that we watch him play with actual NBA talent, you know, in Summer League, he was the only guy on that team that defenses were keen in on. There was no one else there to take the pressure off of him. Here, when he's on the court with actual NBA players, you can kind of see the difference he makes. The three-point shots he gets are wide open. And last night, he went 2 of 5 from three, which is fine. I'll take that. I like him taking the 5 threes, just still shooting. Finished with a game-high 18 points all around, 2 assists, 5 rebounds. He did have 4 personal fouls, but he had 3 early on and then seemed to cut it down in the second half. but his court vision is starting to look particularly good. He sees the floor really well, and I think this talks back, and I mentioned it yesterday, where Dell Demps said they kind of brought him in because he wasn't an 18 or 19-year-old rookie. Dell Demps doesn't like those type of players. Brought Buddy Hield in, who played 4 years in college, learned a lot, is maybe a little bit more mature. His game's kind of a little bit grown from that overall. So I think this has definitely been a nice thing that the Pelicans are doing. And so I think you're going to see him continue to grow. I think he looks better than anyone expected. You know, 7 of 14 overall was pretty great. Got to the line, made his free throws, and that's going to be a big thing for the Pelicans going forward. So Buddy Hield, who almost looked like he was going to be an early bust, and I know it's too early to judge based off summer league, and it's still too early to judge based off the small sample size of two preseason games, but this is a guy Pelican fans should be really excited for. Another thing I want to mention to you guys is I was told by a guy who works in the front office for an NBA team that one of the things you don't really get to notice a whole lot is how much, you know, players like their teammates. And the way you kind of see this is, are they going crazy on the sideline when the player does something well on the court? So if someone shoots a three, are they up, jumping down, celebrating? With Buddy Hield, his teammates clearly love him. You can see it. Anytime he makes a shot, the Pelicans bench is jumping up and down. They are screaming. They are so excited for the guy. So it's really wonderful to see his teammates really like him. Oftentimes, guys who need to shoot a lot, teammates don't, you know, aren't necessarily particularly fond of him because they're taking shots away from the other guys. So, Buddy Hield, it's really nice to see that he's doing well. He's fitting into this locker room culture. He's a great interview. I think you guys are going to really like him as the season goes on. We get to see more of his personality and hear from him a little bit more. So, last guy I want to mention from last night's game, and I know these are the same three guys I've kind of been talking about all week, but they are the three most intriguing guys, is the enigma that is Lance Stephenson. I had no idea the type of game he was going to have last night. You know, he didn't play particularly great. He played decent. He played okay. You know, perfectly adequate is a phrase I like to use when it comes to these sort of things. But Lance Stephenson, last night showed why this team probably does need him and why they might need to, say, cut a guy like Alonzo G to bring Stephenson on for the year. You know, a 94.2 offensive rating for a team that's right now missing Jrue Holiday, Quincy Pondexter, Tyreke Evans does need another creator, a guy who can also kind of generate his own offense, score when he needs to. The only other guy on this team really right now who can do that is Lance Stephenson, and he showed it off a little bit. He got to the line, the free throw line a little bit. There's not a ton of guys that are going to draw fouls and free throws and be able to consistently make those shots. Lance is someone who definitely can. You know, he also had three assists showing he's willing to pass, and when he attacks the basket, at least he can cause the defense to rotate, maybe force a mismatch somewhere as they're kind of, you can swing the ball around on the perimeter. So this team probably does need him. I think it'll still remain to be seen. We're going to talk about it a little bit when I play the clips from Gentry about the rotation, which we're going to get to in a moment here. But you can kind of see who's making this team, who isn't. There's already 15 guaranteed contracts anyway. You can kind of guess which guys are going to get cut, which guys aren't really going to be in the rotation to start the year anyway. But Lance is still that kind of one mystery factor, and I'd be willing to bet at this point in time you'll see him on this Pelicans roster when the season starts on, what is it, I think the 26th, 27th, at home against the Denver Nuggets. You know, if he can keep his cool, fit into the locker room well, and it seems like he wants to, it's definitely going to work. I mentioned yesterday you've got to worry about his personality a little bit still. After he had called in, or he had an interview with a indie radio station, and they seemed to talk about something he didn't like, and he just hung up on him. But he spoke to, I think it was Justin Verrier last night of ESPN.com, saying his phone died. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But he did call and do another interview with that same station today, kind of the redo of it. So, you know, you got to wonder if he, even if he had a momentary lapse and everything, he seemed to make up for it and make it right. So I think everyone's going to be pretty hopeful that he can keep his head on straight and fit into this Pelicans team. He's a guy they could definitely use on the bench as a creator. So this rotation, first, before we dive into it, let's hear a quick clip from Alvin Gentry on what he thinks of it.
You know, obviously when we get back here, the last couple of games, we'll try to almost play it like a rotation game.
So Alvin Gentry's saying they're still figuring things out. They're kind of experimenting. This isn't quite going to be the rotation and how they're going to go about things to start the year. But I think if you watched last night's game, looked at the stats from it, the box score from last night and from the Saturday preseason game, you can kind of get an idea on who these core starters are going to be, who the first couple people off the bench are going to be. You're looking at Tim Frazier starting, Etuan Moore starting at the two guard with Buddy Hield coming off the bench, Solomon Hill in that three-ish spot, and then Anthony Davis, you know, at power forward center. The last, question mark is going to be which big is starting alongside Davis. Is it going to be Alexi Ajinsa or Omer Asik, the two centers they have on the team? But I've got an idea for you guys that I think might be what the Pelicans are thinking as well. So I'm going to play you another clip from Gentry really quickly here.
You know, we've kind of got a pattern that we've talked about that we'll try to use tonight. Once again, if I'm going to play guys, I want them to at least get 6-8 minutes out there. In a stretch, rather than 3 minutes here, 3 minutes there, because I just think it gives them an opportunity, like I said, to establish a rhythm while they're out there. So we kind of write it up and see how we do. We try to stick with it pretty much the first half, and then the second half, we try to do it accordingly to how the feel of the game and what we need to do.
You think you want to see how Terrence Jones and AD play together?
Yeah, we'll definitely look at that. We'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at some combinations of, maybe small lineup or something like that. But, this is just the second game once again. And I think, in China, that last game in China, and then when we come back here, we'll start trying to figure out exactly, what we see as a rotation for the regular season.
He specifically mentions Terrence Jones, and I think this is a guy, and this is why I've been talking about him all week, that's kind of key to what the Pelicans want to do. It seems like they want to play smaller than they have in the past, that they want Anthony Davis at center more. And Jones is the guy who kind of unlocks that. They don't have another big who can really rebound like he can. There's Solomon Hill. But if Davis is playing center, you need another guy who can play the four, who can grab those boards while also stretching the court on offense. Jones can do all of that. I think you'll also see Solomon Hill a little bit at the four. But I think when you're running Solomon Hill and Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis out there, you're going to be happy with that front court. Alexi Ajinsa is still there, but we all know what he can do. So same thing with Omer Asik, very limited. If you want to play a more fluid style, a little bit more of a versatile style, Ajinsa and Asik aren't the guys to go along with this. So you have Terrence Jones, who's been receiving a ton of minutes so far this preseason, who should still see some more throughout these next four games. But, you can see it, like I said, with the rotation. There's guys who aren't getting minutes on this team right now. Robert Zachary played 8 last night, not too great. Quinn Cook, 5 minutes. Chek Diallo, 4. Sean Dawson, who I personally like after he filmed the segment eating snowballs with me, only received 3 minutes. These are guys who, even when a guy like Dante Cunningham didn't play, couldn't earn minutes on there. Chek Diallo, you have to figure they'll keep and send down to the D League. But I think, unfortunately, time is running out for Sean Dawson, Robert Zachary, Quinn Cook. So those guys are probably going to be gone. I think you're going to see Buddy Hield coming off the bench to start the year. They might give him a start over one of these next couple of games. I think they have 4 preseason games left, 2 in China, 2 more in the United States. But Buddy Hield seems better suited to come off the bench, especially once Drew Holiday comes back. Pair him with Tim Frazier off the bench, a pass-first point guard who can kind of create a little bit more for him, hopefully create those open looks for him. So you kind of seen how this is going to work. Moore should be the starter. He's a little bit better on defense, I think, than Hield is right now. He's going to play a little bit better. He's a more reliable shooter, I'd say, at this point, until Buddy Hield gets his feet under him, gets some more feel for the NBA action. It's still preseason, and though Hield's look good, it's going to change entirely once the regular season starts. But Pelicans in China for these next 2 games are over there for 10 days. They should arrive sometime later today, maybe when you're listening to this. Their plane will be landing. It sounded like at 4 a.m. they were playing some basketball on some courts up in Anchorage, Alaska. Hopefully it wasn't too cold for them. Or maybe it was starting to heat up again in New Orleans. So I think we're going to wrap it up here for Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network with Jake Madison. I'm your host here. Also writer for Bourbon Street Shots. Please don't forget, if you're a big Saints fan or like any sort of basketball, listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. That's going to give you a bit more national perspective on everything going around the league. If you're a Saints fan, definitely listen to Locked On Saints. I've been learning a ton, feel like a smarter football fan already for that. And also don't forget to please share this around with your friends if they're a big Pelicans lover. subscribe to it on Audio Boom, where I tend to send the links from, on iTunes. And, you know, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.